We are in the season of Advent, as we've already heard this morning, and I wanted to just remind us about the wreath that we have in front of us. You notice we have two candles burning today. Last week we just had one, and as we are in the season of Advent, we are in a season of waiting. Y'all love to wait? Everybody love, some yes, some not so much. We are in a season of waiting. It's a time for us. We are waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of heaven and earth. And in this time, we have 4 points that we think about. And those are in each of the four candles that are here. And it serves as a worship reminder for us. Can anyone remember what we, if you were with us last Sunday, or if you're following along, what did we focus on the first candle last Sunday? It said Emmanuel is hope with us. So the first candle is hope. And the second candle today is excellent. I was going to just make you wait, but you guys are on top of it. Excellent. You had your coffee and breakfast, so that's good. We also have two other candles, and so those are joy and love. And then the center candle is the Christ candle, and that's the one that we will light Christmas Eve during our service. 7 o'clock, by the way. Hope you can make it. I'm not above a shameful advertisement where it fits on behalf of the church. And you'll notice we have greenery around it as well, and the greenery reminds us of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. So in Christ, we thrive, right, in our lives. We can flourish in Him. So we have a reminder of the story of the birth of Christ and covers all of that. Amen, right? That's a sermon in itself. And I guess I could sit down, but I won't. So this week, we are learning that peace is with us in Emmanuel. What is this peace, though? And how is that significant to us? What has it got to do with us today, about 2,000 years later? Anybody know? Okay, so has to do, did you say Jesus? Oh, the kids. Let the kids go, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week, folks. Appreciate it. Somebody, you just got to speak up and yell at it and just treat it like you're saying amen. Kids, amen.
They're waiting.
I know. Let me dismiss the kids for Hope Kids this morning. I know the ambassadors, they are waiting on you, wondering what's going on this morning. Yes. Well, they did get to learn about the Advent wreath and the candles this morning, so that was a plus. We'll take something out of it. All right. Am I okay with everything else? Okay, apparently I am, so we can move forward. All right. So I don't know how you recover from that, but we're going to try. So we'll just breathe and try to refocus our attention today. All right. So peace. All right. In the story that we heard out of the Gospel of Luke this morning, and other places in Scripture, which we're going to talk about, there is the use of the word peace. And if we're going to talk about Emmanuel being peace with us, it's actually quite helpful if we try to understand what does that peace mean when we look at the story. So when you're reading the story of the birth of Christ, You have a culture with the Roman Empire and other worldly cultures around there, around the ancient Near East, who viewed peace as the absence of conflict and war. That was basically how they looked at it. If you don't have anything stirring up any trouble, then you have peace. So if you're taking notes today, some of you like to do that. If you're taking notes, this would be a great place to think of the absence of versus the presence of. In the Hebrew culture with the Jewish people, the way they looked at peace was different. In fact, the way they thought of it was the presence of wholeness, of being whole. And the word that they used was shalom. Have you ever heard the word before? In the practice of the community, when they would meet somebody, they would say to them, shalom. Right? So if you go to somebody's house, you would say that. If you were interacting with somebody, that would be a greeting that you would use. You'd use it with family members and synagogues all over the place. That was a cultural greeting that essentially meant the state of being whole, of being content, of being sort of full, if you will, and not really lacking anything, but having everything that you need, you're truly blessed. And the people understood that blessing didn't come from their hard works. It didn't come from the government. It came from God. So when you would wish shalom, would say that, then you were essentially wishing that God's fullness of his blessings would be upon your life and you would be content. You would have all that you need. You could wish for a lot more, but you truly have the fullness of what you needed. In the New Testament, we get into the Gospels, the same idea is the word irene. And you say, I don't care about all that. I'm never going to use that. I know. But what it helps us to understand is when we're in the story, there's a significance and there's a meaning that's behind what is said by the angels. The absence of conflict versus the presence of wholeness. You see very different perceptions, different ways of looking at that. It's like it's two different ends, if you will. All right, so knowing that, I've talked about the story. Hey, let's just kind of step back into it, right? You already heard it today. So if you have your Bible and you want to go to Luke chapter 2, that's a great place to go. That's where the story comes from for today. Luke chapter 2. So I'm going to take us into that story for just a moment. So if you can kind of look at that, you can peruse that if you want. There's a $5 word for early Sunday morning. And you have the shepherds out in the field. So it's no doubt in the evening, right? Story tells us that. And you can imagine maybe the stars, kind of like having the star, you know, the lights are all around maybe. And they're out there and all of a sudden, bam, this angel shows up. And they freak out. They're terrified. Because typically if some divine messenger shows up, their belief was that's not for a good reason. That's bringing some sort of judgment that death may be imminent for you. And so they're scared. Plus, can you imagine seeing an angel, you know, firsthand? I mean, who's not going to be a little taken aback on that one? So there they are, and the angel says to them, if you're looking in the Bible, you know the story, what does the angel first say to them? Fear not. Don't be afraid. I know what you think, but take a moment and just breathe. Just exhale for a moment. All is not lost. And he says to them, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I love that. Israel had been waiting for a savior, for the Messiah, the Christ, to come, and now the advent, aha, right? Because the word means coming. The advent, the coming of the Messiah was at hand. The time, right? So come on, let's party like it's 1999. If you got younger kids or whatever, they may have to explain that one to them. But anyways, it means something to me. Anyways. So I know, it's pretty funny. And so when the shepherds are out in the field and the angel brings this message, we've been waiting for so long. Can't believe it. It's here now. The time has come. Yes, right? This is true. Yes, this is crazy, but I'm excited. I'm hopeful. This will be really good. God's peace will come to earth. Woo! Absolutely. A moment to be excited, and then you imagine the heavenly hosts show up, and I can't imagine what that must have looked like and what it would have sounded like. It must have been phenomenal. And they're praising God. And look at verse 14. Their words to the shepherds is this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Irene. Wholeness, completeness, not lacking anything, having abundance, being full and content in God because of His hand and His work and His presence, His love, His grace, His mercy. That's pretty deep. He doesn't say, the angel's not saying, hey, no more war. No. That feels sort of kind of empty. There's nothing wrong with that. Just ask the people in Ukraine, right? Over the last couple years. Nothing wrong with that. But the peace that the Lord brings is not just the absence of, it is the full presence of. And we have to grasp that idea when we read this story, because that ultimately is what's going to take us to the cross. Is it a little early to go there this morning? Well, hold on. You can't help but see Isaiah's words come to life. If you, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, you've heard it. You heard it this morning. You may have heard it before. But in the Old Testament, Isaiah has a foretelling of a leader for God's people that's going to come. And this leader is going to do a great work amongst the people and bring peace to the people of God. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. If you want to read along with, feel free to do that. It says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Shalom. Of the greatness of his government and Shalom, wholeness, fullness, right? There will be no end. So if you think of what it's talking about, it's hard not to see Luke making this connection and the angels understanding that peace is coming. I guess the Holy Spirit either wanted to come in maybe, or hopefully not leave today with an open door. You can take that however you want to this morning. Luke also decides to offer a political commentary. I'm not going to get political today. But as they often do when they're writing in that day, especially in telling stories, he offers a political commentary against the Roman Empire and the emperor and the way that they understood what true peace really was. In fact, the Roman Empire, their idea of peace was called Pax Romana. You can hear it, Roman peace, right? Just kind of flip it. It's in Latin. And that was simply the absence, right? The absence of conflict and war. But that had to do with the emperor's might and the empire's military strength. So it's due to the strength of man and his power and his might. But Luke's story of the birth of a king for God's kingdom is not that type. And so the way he's telling this story is to help the readers in a day and time when the Roman Empire has authority and control over their communities, to get them to understand, look, God, he doesn't just keep the enemies at bay. He brings fullness of life. He brings wholeness and healing, which is salvation. He brings it to the broken, to the estranged. Christ heals from within, bringing contentment and rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. He brings fullness into our lives. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest, to live it abundantly. John's gospel. And he can do this not just because, well, he can do it not just because he's God's representative on earth, but because he is truly God with us. He is Emmanuel. He can do what the emperor cannot do for you, because Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And he brings wholeness, peace through his love and his grace into our lives. I love the story. And I love what it means for the people of God in that day. But see, we're still the people of God today. And that story still has relevance for us today. It still ought to sit with deep meaning in our lives and say, well, how or why, or help me understand that. Why not? I thought one of the simplest places and the quickest places to go to make the connection is in the New Testament. It's in the book of Colossians, right? So it's Paul's writing to the people in Colossae. And so he, in chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, for me, this is, I think, a very simple answer to the why does this even matter, right? Kind of thing. Verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Who's the in him? Jesus. So the baby in the manger, goo goo gaga, oh yeah, right? Yeah. Fully God in the flesh, lying in a manger. That's powerful. Verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace, irene, through his blood shed on the cross. Just make it super simple. When someone is broken and separated from God, and they choose to turn their hearts towards God in faith, believing what Jesus went to the cross for, to do for them, God forgives their sins. He reconciles them to himself. That's what Paul is saying. He reconciles you to God, not because of you. Well, I think I'm pretty good. Like, I think you're not as good as you think. I ain't never come back to this church. Pastor told me I ain't no good. Don't take that. And now they have peace with God. And they have wholeness with God. He takes what was broken, you, and he makes you whole. You say, well, I still feel broken. Yeah. Because your whole life is a journey of experiencing the reconciliation, the restoration of God, the grace of God working on you and walking with you, that when somebody hurts you, and you say, I feel broken, but I can't seem to get over what happened 5 years ago in my life, and it just still pops back up. And God reminds you, I got you. I loved you then, and I'm still in love with you now. I lifted you up when you were laying down exhausted. Well, I didn't feel like I was lifted up. But didn't you get up and put another foot in front of the other and keep going? Well, yeah. You see, I lifted you up. I didn't make it all go away. But see, didn't you find that my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness? You see, I was with you. Didn't you feel that you had some sort of peace that even though it's going crazy and just seems like I'm gonna lose it all, but that some sense that God says, I got you. You're not going to lose it all. Just hold my hand. And can I say to you today, when we think about holding the hand of Jesus, is here and to hear, remember the cross. So, but Pastor, it's Christmas. I want to remember the baby. Yes, but see, the baby came so that you could have peace with God. But that peace came through the cross. So to remember the Christ child is to also remember the cross. The two go together. And my peace is not because I had the power to control life. How many of you know you can't control life and people around you? Oh, good, I'm not the only one. My peace is not in my power. It's in the provision of grace. Don't you love how those P's just work together? I do. I like it. And for me, this is why Emmanuel still matters today, because broken people still need the healing of Jesus in their lives. We need Jesus every day. Every day. There's people going through life and they're broken and they're lost and they're confused and they feel like they're walking in darkness and they don't know how to get out of the darkness and they don't know where healing is going to come from and they're not sure which direction to turn because they look at Facebook or they look at social media and other things, not just picking on Facebook, look at social media and see this advertisement that promises you can get your life together. And this advertisement promises it can give you what you need. And this advertisement says it can get you more money. If you get more money, you'll have more meaning in your life and you'll have more peace. And yet, none of those can do what Christ can do. He truly is peace with us. Through his life and his death and his resurrection. It's the greatest Christmas gift that's ever been given to the world. And we need to remember that. He truly is the reason for the season. I needed that yard sign again up here today. That's okay. He has made peace for us through his blood shed on the cross. And we celebrated that in communion today. All right. Now here's the fun part. Say, well, what do we do with it when we walk out of these doors? Because faith is supposed to be lived out. So here we go. I've got some thoughts. You know me, I've always got an idea. So I'll share it with you. Go be peacemakers in the world. If peace is with us, we ought to go be peacemakers in the world. But not just because it's the right thing to do in the sense that it ought to be our response. But in fact, Jesus called us to go work for peace out in the world. And so what might that look like? It's not just not making trouble, right? It is that. But it's so much more. So here's a thought. Number one, if you throw these on the screen here. Working together to promote the well-being of people, regardless of who they are. So that will probably require being an advocate, a spokesperson for the marginalized in our community and around the world. But I would also say, I believe that has to begin in your own family. I really believe you have to work for peace in your own family. Promote the well-being of people. First in your family, at work. I don't like those people. All right, do it anyway. I love the people I work with. You guys are amazing. Because, like, what was Pastor saying on that one, actually? Nothing. Number two, work to restore what is broken. Trying to fill in what's missing. Remember, it's about wholeness, completeness, right? It's about restoring. Seek out where there's an opportunity to help the community flourish and thrive in God's goodness. And I want to take, so here's a clear, I think a good example of this. In our own community, we partner with Hope Central in Boonville. And I love Hope Central's, their mission and their vision. Their vision statement, I want to share with you, it says this. It says they're working to build a community where every person can experience the physical, emotional, and spiritual well-being God desires for them. Pretty simple. When we think of Emmanuel's peace, that's really what we're talking about. Do you see it? That sense of wholeness and complete, not lacking anything, flourishing, thriving by God's good hand. That's what Hope Central exists to try to bring about in our own community. And we partner with them, and I'm so grateful that we do. We have and that we do. And I foresee us continuing to do that. All right, so let me give you a third one. Working towards unity in the bond of peace. You will not like every person that you interact with. You just won't. You're not always going to see eye to eye. That's life. We're all different. Sometimes it'll be doctrine and teaching and from scripture. Sometimes theology. Sometimes it's just the way you talk to people, you treat people. It may be a very liberal view versus a very conservative view on ethics and morality. You're just not going to agree with everybody, okay? But when we talk about peace, working together, promoting unity, the bond of peace, is to say, folks, what has to be right at the foundation of who how we see each other? Even we know we don't agree. Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. You and I don't see eye to eye. But what we do agree on is that Jesus Christ saved us from our sins and death. He's given us the gift of eternal life. And you may be pro on the liberal side, and the other person is pro on a very conservative side. And you say, you know what? We don't see it eye to eye. And I don't know how we would ever bridge that gap. But you know what? One thing we do agree is that the only way that one's sins can be forgiven and you can receive eternal life is through faith in Jesus Christ. And we'll come together on that, and we'll unify together on that. And though you may not agree with me, I will respect you and I will value you because you are made in the image of God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we don't have to agree on every little dotted I and cross T, but we got to agree on Jesus. He's got to be the subject. And in everything else, we have to find a way to keep him the subject of what we do and how we do what we do. We've got to bear with one another. And that's what peacemaking does. We bear with one another in love. How many of you have ever had somebody hurt you? Offend you, call you, Are you stretching? Is that a yes? That's both, maybe. Thank you for your honesty. Appreciate it. Forgiving where there's an offense. I don't want to forgive them. I hear you. I don't think I can forgive them. I hear you. They don't deserve forgiveness. I hear you. They're not worth it. I hear you. If you knew, listen, I hear you. You still need to forgive. You still need to forgive. It's too hard. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to help you. But you still have got to move in the direction of saying, I choose to forgive you. Not because I feel like it, but listen, go with me. Follow me to the cross for a second. What was done here was done because the Lord knew you have offended God. You are not in your own self and in your own strength and in your own goodness. You are not worthy of being forgiven. Because there's nothing in you that can accomplish making you righteous with God, putting you in a right relationship with God. We would say being an atonement for you, atonement, at one with, right? There's nothing in the world that can, or you, that can bring that to pass. Only one thing. And that one thing is the one man, Jesus Christ, was fully man and fully God. And he went to the cross because he knew you couldn't do it. He said, you know what? I'm going to choose to extend forgiveness to you. But to receive it, you're going to have faith and accept it. Okay? I'm going to make it available. And you may not. Because see, there are folks that have heard it, but they don't believe it. I'm going to do it for you. Because I love you. I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to save you. John 3:17. Because I love you. John 3:16. It's funny we're going backwards. We might consider the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. He infamously prayed, the start of his prayer, says, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. And he goes on from there. See, peacemaking is, it's actually, it's working to make whole that which is broken, that which is lacking, that which is chaotic, because that's the work of peace that God brings into our lives. Now watch the connection. And he says, go then, love the world as I have loved you. As I have brought you peace, you go work for peace out in the world. And so as we celebrate the birth of Emmanuel this year, let's ask God for help in that, because we need his help, that we might live out his peace in the world. Hey, so the world will know that we are Christians by our love, by our work for peace. Truly in Emmanuel, peace is with us. Praise God. So as our team comes this morning, I'm going to ask if you would just stand, and I want to pray for us, because I need his help in being a peacemaker just as much as everybody else. And I want to ask the Lord would help us in that hard work today. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for your story, a story of peace being with us in Emmanuel. We're so grateful for what you've done for us. And you've called us, I know, to go and work for peace, but it's so challenging, and we need your help. Help us do what you've called us to do, that we may be obedient to you and be effective in the world. Not that we'd be glorified, but that you would be glorified, and people will be drawn to you by your love working through us. Help us, Lord, please. Help us to work for peace every single day, in every single relationship, in every single place that we find ourselves. And may you be glorified through our lives. Amen.